Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November the 25th, the day before Feast Day. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It is great to be here.
Are you ready for Thanksgiving yet?
Yeah, I like Thanksgiving pretty much. I think, there was a time in my younger years and I traveled the planet at various times. And people would ask you, what's the one meal or the one food you want to have that you can't get because you're, I don't know, somewhere in Asia or out in the jungles of someplace. And I always like, I just keep going back to the Thanksgiving dinner. Like, that's the one, if I could somehow muster it up after, not being in the U.S. for some months, either on work or whatever, then I'd always go back there. So it's definitely comfort for me.
It's interesting when we've been on one cruise, right? So the memories are pretty narrow and the experiences are. But the one thing I can remember when we got to port in Skagway was getting on sourdough bread, a turkey sandwich. Simple, clean, basic. Make sure there's plenty of mayonnaise on it.
Yeah. Well, my wife was in the Peace Corps, and in my work, in my past, I actually knew quite a bit of Peace Corps folks and traveled with them in other countries. And 4th of July and Thanksgiving in, the various countries that they're stationed in, the embassies in general would open up to invite the Peace Corps folks to come and feast. And I can tell you, Thanksgiving dinner, very, very popular.
Yeah.
Thing to go. Very popular.
Early arrivers and late leavers, yes.
That's right.
All right, Winston, why do we say it?
Here's an interesting one. How did pocket watches come to be called turnips?
Turnip? Where are you getting this? Turnip?
Don't you know about how people would put turnips in their pockets?
And wind them up? No?
No, I'm just making it up.
Okay.
They put turnips in their pocket. This before they really had good shampoo and soap, maybe. So it was
I don't think this tradition visited Humboldt County. What do you got?
Turnip as a name for a watch, which was rather appropriate when all watches were about that size, was suggested by an old Mother Goose rhyme. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. If turnips were watches, I'd wear one by my side.
Oh, Mother Goose. Mm. And who wrote Mother Goose, by the way?
I don't know.
I have no clue either. Oh, boy. Well, it's been kind of an interesting 4 or 5 weeks since last we got together.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of, I guess, kind of touching a bunch of different points. Any updates on the wind power project? Is that progressing? Are we hearing things? Are you feeling as confident today as you were a month and a half ago about how that is going to be sited and developed here along the bay?
Well, I think that when we're talking about the offshore wind, it kind of came to me today, like in terms of, I almost feel like, if we do this and if this community moves forward in that direction, it's kind of like we'll be like the Cape Canaveral of West Coast wind energy, in that, we'll have this develop, it really will require some significant development on the peninsula for, just to service these towers, because that's what they are. And for the most part, they would be assembled in the bay and then tugged out. But if you can imagine, they would be so tall. I mean, they literally will be as tall as any rocket structure that one might imagine that Cape Canaveral have. That's how big they would be. And then they would get hauled out into the ocean. So certainly, I think it would definitely change the landscape, at least, in those moments when those things are being built and hauled out there. So that's an interesting thing I learned. And I learned that from, there was a great webinar series that the Shots Energy research folks did. They did a series of them. I think there's four of them. They're both technical and community oriented. And I recommend that everybody take a look at those. If you just Google Shots Energy, and that's SCHTZ Energy, wind, offshore, the keywords you might imagine. And it is really amazing, all the information that you'll find there about, you know, what this is. And so I think it is advancing. It's certainly, the nation is definitely going to be probably focusing more on wind energy coming up with the administration change that's I think it's occurring. I'm pretty sure it's occurring. It seems like that's where things are going. And yeah, I mean, so I think it's going to be interesting. And they looked at, you know, the whether the smaller project supplies just Humboldt County with its energy, or the larger project proposal or concept is, you know, supplying up to 4% of California's energy, which is pretty significant for the fifth largest economy on the planet. This is definitely something that's gathering a lot of interest.
Are you getting blowback, Mike, about the product or the process of construction on this, or are the anti-crowd starting to say things? Because I've not heard anybody other than just in general, is it still alive? Is it progressing? Is it going to happen? You know.
Oh, I mean, certainly there are folks in every, you know, that have concerns, and, you know, with anything, you should have concerns. I mean, I think they're, you know, what looking at what's being analyzed, what are the potential impacts to fisheries or birds or whales, those sorts of things. And of course, the fishing fleet, the fishermen have concerns about access to areas.
Now that's more site specific. I mean, if this would be a production location for the West Coast, you know, Humboldt County wouldn't have the concerns about some of these other locations that aren't in our area.
Right. But it's, you know, wherever you are in, you know, in any of these environments, there's going to be some impact. And so the question is, you know, is the value worth more than the impact? And,
sure.
and can the impact be mitigated to less than significant, right? Or,
you right, know,
or,
right.
Or somehow, you know, offset in some way. And there's just a lot of work. There's a ton of work going into that. I mean, we really do have to get there. You know, sea level rise is really occurring, and as we're seeing these temperature differentials that are causing, you know, weather issues here on the North Coast and elsewhere, even more dramatically, we're seeing people move to our area because either, you know, where they live is too hot and too dry and just becoming more so, or they got burned out from somewhere. So we have climate refugees, right, from that. We have COVID immigrants these days. So, you know, we need to figure out how we're going to, you know, energize all that stuff, because, quite frankly, we have the natural gas plant, you know, currently the mostly electrons that you and I are using currently to talk to one another and to have the lights on. You know, those are mostly coming from the natural gas.
And we'll continue there with this when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson, or perhaps continuing our discussion this morning with Mike Wilson.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
I just go run on and on when I get into this nerdy energy stuff. So, you know, well, but I just want to get into that. You know, that our power plant currently, you know, out in Salmon, it's a natural gas plant, and so for those that are concerned about you know, carbon or greenhouse gases, natural gas is definitely causes a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. It's a problem in that way. And certainly getting our electricity from that source is, you know, has a carbon footprint and impact, and we should be concerned about that. But the other part about it is, you know, the reason we're able to island ourselves is because we have that plant. But in the long run, that plant is pretty vulnerable. It sits at about 12-foot elevation with, you know, a bay flue on kind of one side of it, the entrance of the bay facing it directly. So it's, you know, in a long term, it's in a somewhat precarious location. For our long term resiliency, we really need to find other ways to produce that 150 megawatts that it produces. And with the governor's proclamation about moving towards electric vehicles, you know, we're going to need more energy to supply our transportation system as well.
Of all sources, yeah. So as you're looking at what the wind power, or I don't know what we call these things, wind towers, whatever, the potential, is this like a 40 or a 50-year building opportunity for employment for the local economy just up and down the entire West Coast of our continent and possibly, you know, Central America also?
Well, I don't know sort of the long arc of that. I mean, certainly in the next couple of decades with regards to, depending on how big it expands, there's also the part where, you know, you would have to, you know, upgrade the export infrastructure for that much electricity if it was really getting to be quite big. But certainly when you get in front, right, and we've seen that in Humboldt County in all kinds of ways, our microgrid systems and the energy that we're putting in towards that puts us in front. We're in front in a lot of ways in terms of new technologies through the Schatz Energy and Humboldt State's environmental systems program. I would say that, you know, putting yourself out in front allows you to leverage exactly what you're talking about. What can we export in terms of knowledge, and not just knowledge, but actually, you know, assembly once we get good at doing that here? And I think you're right. It does have that kind of potential.
Well, and you know, keep some of it here on the home front, too. I mean, that would be, you know, yeah, exactly. So it is... What's the next step in the process? Is it more public hearing meetings and things of that nature?
Well, you know, things kind of got slowed down a little bit with the current administration, but the new administration, I expect things will definitely rev back up again. There is a lot of interest in how we leverage our local control over that potential project. So that's being discussed, as well as, you know, can we have set aside for research to tie into the university, those sorts of things. And so a lot of that is being, you know, discussed again with a lot more vim and vigor, considering the change in the administration that's coming. And I think we're going to see a lot more movement on that.
Is this a federal project or a state project or a local project?
It's in federal waters. It's in federal waters,
okay.
So it starts there. It will have to come, you know, it'll have land use impact. So it'll have local, both the county and the Coastal Commission will have their, you know, jurisdictions crossed on this as well. So there'll be discussions with that. But it's really at the federal level in terms of the leasing that occurs and really getting that going. And so I feel like there's some, you know, there's some new movement in that direction, and so I'm looking forward to see what happens next. But also, you're right about more education into the community.
Is there incentives at the state level for this? You know that at one point there was for the solar panels, and now it's a mandate for any new homes that you have to have the solar panels, where before it was an inducement to save. Is there a similar program for this, or for communities in California to utilize this kind of energy, or is it more of a free market enterprise at this point?
Well, it's not at the community level. I mean, so it's more of the energy investment level at a much larger scale. Those entities that are really looking to get into this, I will say, are healed. You know, they definitely have resources, and they really see this as a good investment with regards to that. So we're trying really hard to make sure that the community, you know, is a part of that investment as much as possible, so that returns to us as much as possible. And that's going to be, you know, a big part of that negotiation through that process.
Investment, what does that mean? Is that like the Terrigen effort, where there were various entities within the county wanting to get specific financial reimbursement, or is this more, you know, support local schools and it's across the board, or X number of dollars or percent to roads or things of that nature that are more broad stroke?
Well, I would have to say that's all up for discussion. I mean,
okay.
That's definitely the spectrum of, you know, what community, you know, some of that needs to be very targeted. You know, for instance, you know, impacts to the fishing.
Sure.
If there are impacts that we need to deal with in regards to that, then, you know, that's not free.
Right.
You know? And so
right.
That has to be dealt with. And then
okay.
if there's impacts to whatever else it may be, you know, all of those things are going to require that support. And then also, again, you know,
hang on, we're up against a break here. This one doesn't move. We'll be back. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Mike, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the community. I think the term you used was investment, that the project for the wind power as currently kind of being looked at or seriously considered out on the North Spit, that there would be community investment, which is kind of a nebulous phrase, particularly for a lot of us that don't play in that arena regularly. What are you looking at when that phrase is used, or what are some of the options and considerations?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons we have, you know, the Redwood Coast Energy Authority is so that, you know, if there is an option to pay for your energy through Redwood Coast Energy Authority, your local joint powers authority, or pay directly to PG&E, right? And so currently, you pay, you know, if you go through RCEA, you pay just slightly less than what you might pay through PG&E, right? And even if it was even with PG&E, the big difference between those two things is that the profit that used to go to PG&E that was sprinkled back in investment in this community a little bit when they were forced to by the Energy Commission, California Energy Commission, that if you buy your energy through RCEA, that money gets invested right back in this community. So since its inception, you know, some a decade ago, you know, $50 million has been reinvested back into this community, and that fund is growing.
For folks that are unfamiliar with the RCA, where's that $50 million? Where do we see that?
So it gets reinvested back in the community in different energy programs, whether it's programs for helping people, you know, do their solar, get resilience that way, or whether it's helping people convert to electric vehicles, or whether it's large microgrid systems like we see that's being built at the airport, which will be the largest solar/microgrid, which means it's like its own power grid with a battery backup system up there. It's probably going to be about, you know, one of the biggest in the nation, and probably one of the first in the nation to really get up and running at that scale. And we've got probably three or four of those projects kind of moving through as partners with Schatz Energy and with RCEA. And so we're looking at more and more of those projects. But one of the places to invest, and that's what I mean by it, we can be invested, for instance, in offshore wind, and that we have a stake in it. It's not just, we're not just a community where it exists. We're a community that has a real stake in that.
Kind of like
so
a shareholder?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we really have to look for ways where we have a more of an equity and social control, right, as part of that. And I think that that's really what is being explored right now, and people are really taking that very seriously. And so, yeah, so the more of that we can get, the more of that that we can return, the better. So, but, you know, just sort of the same way we like to do local shopping, right, Brian?
Absolutely. Yes.
I want to remind everybody that, you know, Black Friday? Is that what we call it, the day after Thanksgiving?
Black Friday. Yeah. Now it's kind of a whole month, but yeah, Black Friday is traditionally when retailers start making money for the year. There you go,
stay
from the red to the black. Yeah.
Stay away from the Amazons, that's all I say. From the Amazon, stay away from the internet as much as possible. Buy what you can locally. Same reason why we would, get our energy through RCEA. We want to invest back in this community. Even if, you know, you don't know maybe you don't want to go into a store, you can buy gift certificates from the various stores. You can buy gift certificates to the various restaurants. They really need it right now. You know, so this is a time to think creatively about how you might support your local businesses, rather than buying something from some long, far away place. And you'd be surprised, your local businesses, most of them have online service where they can actually, their product lines are online and you can actually have them deliver.
So I'm kind of looking forward to not having huge crowds and being able to go into the stores, not have the long lines. Yeah, because they're, That's bottom line. Yeah, do that. Hey, how is the HTA doing with all of the, with the changes in the marketplace and with the schools not being as active as they have been in the past? Is that really causing some complications with the transit authority, or have adjustments been made?
It's causing havoc with public transportation worldwide. I mean, really, and in the United States, it's wreaking havoc in ways that are really going to be very challenging to pull out of, for sure. People where they're working, and it's not even that they're using other forms of transportation, which they are. I mean, it's impacted the used car market like crazy because people are trying to get to work and those sorts of things. But then there's people who aren't going into their workplace, and so. Yeah, I mean, it's like down like 70% or more.
I had heard 65 to 70%, but I was looking at BART particularly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
so we're rethinking everything. You know, what is mass transit without the mass?
Yeah.
Right? And so then we really have to think about that. And there's just, it's not just our local Humboldt Transit Authority that's, trying to adapt. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting what we see. You know, like I keep telling people, or keep trying to tell myself anyway, is, a year from now is not going to be the same as a year ago. You know, we're not moving back to anything. We're moving forward.
We're going sideways, right? Or at a different angle entirely. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Mr. Wilson.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning, day before Thanksgiving, with Mike Wilson. Okay, Mike, what we're kind of doing in this last segment with everybody is asking, now we kind of had a little discussion about food earlier, but what is your favorite Thanksgiving meal ingredient or element or dish?
For me, if it's done right, the stuffing is like a real, I just love that whole, like the bread and the meat parts and the, and sometimes it's even got a little bit of weird fruit stuff in there or something. I don't know about that. I never make it, right? You know, so for me, it's always like a surprise. Like, oh, who's going to make the stuffing and then what comes out? And it seems like the place where people experiment the most,
Yeah.
So I'm generally happily surprised by it, but it's definitely the part of sort of like gives me wonder before the meal. What's the stuffing going to be like?
Do you prefer stuffing or dressing?
I don't know. I guess I use the term stuffing for kind of the whole whatever, you know, whatever fits that genre, that niche.
Okay. See, I'm a big fan of dressing, but not of stuffing. I don't like it inside the bird cavity and the fat dripping and all that stuff. I like it the crispy rather than the soggy, I guess, is kind of the simplistic way for me to think of the two.
And for me, it's the surprise of which one is going to be the, you know, yeah. It's the meal. That's why I never know, you know.
Now, I've never heard of fruit in a dressing, but that does sound kind of intriguing, like some apples or something like that that could stand up to a little bit of the baking process. Huh.
Like dates or things like that.
Yeah, yeah, the raisins, the stuff that doesn't go in with a whole lot of moisture to start with.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Going to have to consider that one for tomorrow. Customization is mushrooms.
Oh, I love mushrooms.
I'll put as many mushrooms in there as the celery and the onions, and some in the family like it, and others shake their head when I'm talking about it.
I could really see where like some chanterelles would just totally set that off in the right direction.
Oh, I'm not even picky. Yeah. I'll just go with whatever's on the shelf, cut them in halves, throw them in, and you know, if 1 pound is good, 2 pounds is better, and not worry about it. very simplistic. So sounds to me like we're on the same wavelength. How's that for a nice way to go into the Thanksgiving Day weekend, huh?
Who would have thought?
Yeah. See, I don't have to defend it. You do.
Well, I mean, just a reminder to everyone to get outside. You know, I mean, we're really, you know, being impressed upon everybody that those gatherings are, you know, we're really trying to have people find alternatives to that and you know, get outside and take a walk. And this, you know, if you're going to have to socialize with friends and those things, maybe it's not sitting down at the meal. Maybe it's during the day and the next day. You know,
Bringing dressing over to your friends and leaving your version of dressing. How's that?
Yeah.
We're going to get you making this stuff eventually anyway, one way or another. Oh, happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Brian, and don't eat too much stuffing.
Oh.
Or dressing.
I'm not sure that that's a possible equation, but I'll do my darndest.
All right.
All right, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. See you tomorrow.